We're talking today with Curtis Ward with Superior Livestock Executive VP. And Curtis, let's talk a little bit about the cattle market as a, in general, especially the slaughter cattle market. This is something that I know that Superior's kind of looked at for a while, and you've got a new product that you've rolled out earlier this year. But this is something that's been kind of a concerning thing for the cattle industry for a bunch of years, really.
Right, Ron, you probably remember back when we started in the cattle industry. And of course, I probably came along a little bit after you. But in the 80s, when I began, the fat cattle cash trade occurred almost every day. We would see some type of trade. Might be 50 cents lower, 50 cents higher from the previous day. But rarely would we go a day or two without there being cash cattle trade. Flash forward to where we're at today, and a big percentage of the cattle are now not trading on the cash market, but they trade on a formula basis or a grid basis, or there'll be forward contracts between the cattle feeder and the packer. So we've gotten down to about last year where only about 20% of the actual cattle are traded on what we would call the cash trade, or as the USDA calls it, the negotiated market.
And, you know, literally we've seen that thing shrink year by year, and especially so here in the Southern Plains.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, with the big break that we've seen in the cattle market the last 2 years, the fat cattle cash trade peaked out about $1.70 or about $1.70 per hundredweight November, just right at 2 years ago. And we've traded as low as $98 last month. Through that time, the fat cattle cash trade has got to where it has really only traded one day a week. A lot of times on a Friday afternoon. So even during this decline, we've seen increased volatility because the futures market is waiting to see some cash trade develop. And if it doesn't trade till late Friday afternoon, then that has caused a lot more volatility, we believe, in the futures markets.
And all this trade basically, in other words, we're really setting up everything off the negotiated sales that are left. And that kind of gets thinner and thinner.
That's right, and some people believe it's also caused the live cattle contract to actually become more of a discounted contract. And if we look at how that affects the rest of the market, from the cow-calf producer to the stocker operator who's selling, you know, 400 to 500 pounders, or even the feeder cattle producer who's selling 700 to 800 pounders, everything eventually gets priced off of that fat cattle contract.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a product that I mentioned, alluded to the fact that Superior Livestock has actually developed a product to help on the finished cattle market side of things. You're obviously a leader, been a big player in the feeder cattle market, the calf market, cow-calf trade market. Now you're actually in finished cattle with FedCattleExchange.com.
That's correct. How this really came about, Superior is a member of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And in the recent January NCBA meeting in San Diego, I believe you were there as well, in the Livestock Marketing Committee, one of the NCBA members put forth a proposal, or it's kind of an idea, of a fat cattle online cattle auction. And I really thought the idea had merit. We came back to the office, and I visited with Robert York, who's CEO of Superior Livestock, and with Danny Jones, who's our president. And we started having meetings along with our CFO, Craig Crabb, and put together and after having several meetings with industry participants, cattle feeders, packers alike, we put together this online fat cattle cash auction. Now that's called Fed Cattle Exchange.
And this particular market, you kicked off this spring and ran it for a while, and then you had to do some more retooling.
That's right. We started in May. We were not expecting to have the overwhelming response like we had. We ended up having our website got crashed a few times, so we had to beef up our servers. We also made a few other changes here and there, but we came back on, and so right now we just had our record month. In the month of November, which we're not completely done with November yet, but our largest trade that we had was about 13,400 head, which was last week.
Now, as you go through this process, this is kind of mimicking what the traditional negotiated trade out in the country has been.
It is. What happens, a cattle feeder will get registered on our website or his feed yard. And on about a Friday or Saturday, they will start filling out the information. Everything is online. The field's already there. They just basically type in the descriptive data. We don't do videos. We're just taking pictures. So they could even use an iPhone and they'll take a few pictures of the cattle. Those are easy to upload. Sam Hughes is our administrator, and he's able to help people when they're doing this for the first time, but it's relatively simple. But all the cattle have to be listed by Monday noon Central Time in order to be on that show list. Packers are able to see cattle as they start popping up on there, and they'll still go out and look at the cattle just like they've always done.
And as a result, they've got by Wednesday deciding what they're going to bid, whether they're going to bid on a particular pen of cattle, this type of thing, right?
That's right. And so Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time, the bidding will start. It'll be at random, so they'll take the show list, and the computer automatically shuffles it. So, whatever the order is, it's just all at random. The cattle feeder has the ability, and it costs $1 for him to list the cattle. Whether the cattle sell or not, it's just a $1 listing fee that goes to the exchange. The cattle feeder also has the ability to put in the set-in price. And there's two different theories. Some believe that they want to put the set-in price a little lower to attract some packer bidding. Then there's some that know they want to set in the price at the price that they want to receive or that they're willing to receive, and they can do that as well. So there's quite a bit of flexibility for the cattle feeder.
Couple of words that we hear a lot about the fed cattle market or the finished cattle market, however you want to describe it, the lack of transparency, the lack of liquidity. Something like this fed cattle exchange is designed to alleviate that, right?
Yes, and we've been seeing the trade develop and really excited about seeing some good concrete cash trade numbers at midweek. Something we haven't seen in the past. And we've been very excited about not only the cattle feeders but the packers that have been actively participating, and we've even had some regional packers. We also got a boost at the end of September, I believe September 29th, when the USDA put out a press release that talked about specifically Fed Cattle Exchange and that they had is a little outside of what they have normally seen in the past, but they declared that all the cattle that would be in sold on the Fed Cattle Exchange platform would be considered negotiated trade. And part of the reason for that is Superior, which Fed Cattle Exchange is a wholly owned subsidiary of Superior Livestock, but neither Fed Cattle Exchange or Superior, neither one of us clear any of the funds for that. We're just bringing the sellers and the buyers together, and they'll the packers continue to pay for the cattle, pick up the cattle just like they've always done.
Now, you know, at the end of the day, this is, you know, there's been a lot of worries about the live cattle side of the exchange regarding that part of the pipeline. You know, you got the wholesale trade, but then it seems like it's almost, this has been kind of a black hole as it's gotten, you know, fewer and fewer cattle actually trading from week to week on that negotiated level. How does this particular project, the FedCattleExchange.com, how does this fit into, you know, moving the cattle industry, you know, positively towards some of the conclusions that you want to see?
Well, that's a good point. One of the things that the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, has been very vocal about, they've been concerned with the volatility in the market, but they've also been concerned with we now have or what they appear to believe that we have a cash contract that maybe isn't completely in line with what the futures contract is. And so they've been putting pressure on the industry to come up with a solution to increase the cash trade or the negotiated trade. There's been rumors and, some of their key players have even said that they are taking a look. They've been very vocal about this, that they're taking a look at taking the live cattle futures contract to a cash settled contract. NCBA has policy that is against that. NCBA supports the physically delivery of fat cattle. So we're hoping that Fed Cattle Exchange will be at least one of the components that allows the cash trade to be more transparent midweek, and maybe one of these days we'll be able to go to an auction more than one day a week.
And, you know, where do you see this thing going? Still, you know, it's kind of you're in your infancy. You're still getting everything figured out, even as you start building the volume. What do you hope for in, say, 2017 and beyond?
Well, I know we have there's a lot of Holsteins that are out there that are still need to be traded, and we've been talking about having a separate day just for the Holsteins. I believe on today's auction that there's a pen or two of Holsteins on there. I know that we'd like to see another day for the Fed Cattle Auction to trade. but we want to be very cognizant of what the industry would like us to do. A lot of this has been a group effort, so we haven't really sat down and say, well, this is the way it's going to be. But as we get maybe above the 25,000, 30,000 numbers, that's one of our targets for next mid next year, to be at about the above the 20,000 range. We'll just see if another day is something that's more convenient for the industry, or if they just want to continue to have just a 1 day a week exchange trade.
One last question: as far as the working group that the cattle industry's pulled together, you're actually involved with the cash trade subcommittee. Where, you know, what's the hope of NCBA and the cattle industry as they try to work with CME? How do we solve some of these issues?
Well, what the NCBA has done, the Livestock Marketing Committee, which has been the chairperson of that, has been Ed Grimen for a couple of years, and Ed's done a wonderful job. The Livestock Marketing Committee does a lot of things, but one of the biggest responsibilities it has is communication with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And like I said earlier, with some of the feedback that we've been getting from the CME, CME has made some changes to try to help curb volatility in the futures contract and also tweak the specifications. But anyway, the Livestock Marketing Committee was broken into three subcommittees. And those three subcommittees are market volatility, the cash price discovery committee, which I do chair, and then the contract specifications committee. We've had some meetings in Washington, D.C., with also there's other people that are involved in this as well, but with our working group. But we've also been able to we've had several different conference calls and just some of the key players in the cattle industry, allowing them a forum to be able to submit ideas, and we can consider things and try to separate the wheat from the chaff as we go forward to try to work out and make this working committee be able to have some better reports back at our next NCBA meeting in Nashville.